Welcome, and thanks for joining us for this episode of the C3 Church Podcast. You're about to listen into a message from one of our gatherings. To find out more about our community, where we gather both in person and online, and how to get involved, head to c3church.ca. Now, let's listen into a message from a recent service.
Today, I want to talk about a topic, really it relates to this, but it's not in our regular series, so it's a little shift from that. But it is foundational. It is incredibly important to our life. It's a simple topic. It's not complex. It's simple. But it's an idea that really, if we grasp it, it can transform our relationships, but not just transform our relationships. It actually can have an effect on our physical healing. It can change us dramatically. It's something we talk about a lot, especially in church, but most of the time I'm not sure that we do it very well. In fact, I think more often than not, we tend to do it a little poorly. While it's really simple, if it's done correctly, it's hard and painful. Aren't you excited already? A few weeks ago, I spent some time, 2 hours on a personal retreat. I would not normally have done that, but it was a requirement for a course I'm taking. And I had to go somewhere away from cell service and everything else, so we drove my truck up to Beaver Lake, which incidentally, it's still frozen and you can't get in. Beaver Lake, as you're thinking of camping this week. And for 2 hours, just had time just with God. Pretty remarkable. Praying, meditating, answering some questions. And as I was answering some of those questions and I was thinking about what's God done, what's the way that God's influenced me, what are some of the experiences that make me who I am, I was taken back to an experience and really a series of experiences over 20 years ago. It was a incident that kind of set it off, and it was really painful. Somebody who I considered, and I thought we both considered each other close friends, hurt me really, really badly. There was money involved, there was emotions involved, there was all sorts of stuff involved. And if you were to ask me 4 weeks ago if I've dealt with that situation, I would have said absolutely. I've forgiven the person. Except God had a little different thing to say about it. As I was meditating on that situation, that incident, that person, and writing in my journal, I wrote something that I don't think I've ever written before in my life. I wrote, I hate that person. I went, I can't believe I'm saying that. I was just trying to be honest with God. And I realized that even though I had tried to do this simple thing, forgive, I had not done it well. Today I want to talk about forgiveness. Simple subject, but if we do it right, it's really painful. If you got your Bibles, and hopefully you do, but if not, you can follow along on screen. I want us to go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 to 35. Matthew chapter 18, 21 to 35. It's a parable that Jesus is telling. A parable is a story. It's not necessarily a nonfiction story. It's a story that Jesus makes up to illustrate a point. And so just saying you have to be a little careful sometimes when you read Jesus' parables that you don't just go, oh, this is literally what happened, because that's not how Jesus was telling it. He's telling it as a story. It's an illustration. But he's telling it to teach something. And we get the clue from the story from Matthew as he writes this. We get the clue in the very first verse. He says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked him, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times. The story is about forgiveness. Jesus is telling this story to answer Peter's question, how extensive should my forgiveness be? Can I make some exceptions? Can I make some limitations? Can I say, hey, I only will forgive them if they hurt me so many times. I'll only forgive them if it's less than 10 years ago. I'll only forgive them if it's certain requirements around it. And that's Peter is really asking a question. And Jesus responds to that. And he says, well, I'll tell you not 7 times, but 77 times or 7 times 7, depending on which translation you use. really, it's not important. We can go into this little bit of it and we can get sidetracked, but Jesus is essentially saying it's not limited. I'm not telling you there's a limit on it. In fact, I'm suggesting to you, and this is so countercultural to what Peter would have understood. He said, there's no limit. You've got to forgive every time. So he goes on to tell his story. And he says, the kingdom of God, therefore the kingdom of heaven, is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this time, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it all back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Don't forget that. Jesus tells the whole story, and then he says, this is what happens if you don't forgive them from your heart. There's an element to forgiveness that is not simply a decision. We don't just decide to forgive. There's something that has to go on our heart for forgiveness to happen. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 to 15, Matthew's recording Jesus. He records the Lord's Supper, the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer. And at the end of it, he says, in verses 14 to 15, he says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sin. This is one of the very few times in Scripture that God kind of puts a condition on forgiveness. And I, without going into great depth on this particular point, I just want to suggest to you that God's saying that this is really, really important. That this is really, really important, but it's also really, really hard. That he would emphasize it to this extent, to say this forgiveness, unless you forgive, you don't get forgiven. We're not going to get into the salvation by grace because we are forgiven simply because not of something we've done. God's forgiven us. But he's telling us that this forgiveness that we receive, it's got to be reciprocated in the world around us or else we do not walk out in the fullness of our salvation. We don't walk out in the fullness of everything we've got. A little context to the parable that Jesus tells. I always find this interesting because, you know, I've read this parable so many times. Here it says this king has settling his debts with his servants. Now, I want to just kind of clarify something here. It is likely that the servants were talking about, it was probably a tax collector who was working for the king collecting taxes. And he had to, you know, in our world today, we have that kind of thing goes on. If you own a small business and you're GST registered or PST registered, you collect taxes on behalf of the government. And at the end of the quarterly session or yearly, whatever it is, you're expected to remit those taxes to the government because it's theirs. If you don't, you owe the government money, and they start adding interest onto what you owe them. It's not that you've gone and borrowed money from the government. You're actually remitting money that's theirs. And it's most likely, based on this story, that that's the situation of this service, because otherwise the king would have been a fool to lend him that much money. So it's most likely that this man had been responsible to collect money on behalf of the king, and he wasn't passing it along. He was keeping it, so he was settling the accounts. And in that story, as the king is settling these accounts, there's some things that I just think are so amazing to me in this story. When I look at this king, First thing I want to say about forgiveness is unreasonable. There's a couple of hints in this story that tell us some things that you don't catch right away, but it says that the king owed or was collecting, settling accounts, probably tax collector. The amount of money is absolutely ridiculous. In Craig Keener, in his commentary on this particular passage, says, although the talents' worth varied in different periods, 10,000 talents, which some translations would use, 10,000 talents represented between 60 and 100 million denarii, or between 30 and 100 million days' wages for an average peasant. That's a lot of work. The combined annual tribute of Galilee and Perea, so the two regions of that area, just after the death of King Herod the Great, came only to around 200 talents. So here's 1,000 talents he owes, but the whole taxation of that whole region in any given year was only 1/5 of that full amount. It's a lot of money. Jesus is trying to tell us the extent, the unreasonableness of forgiveness in this. There's also another little thing in this story that's interesting, is because when the king is angry with his servant because he won't pay it, he says, I'm going to throw you and your wife and your kids into jail, into servants. We normally gloss over that, but there's a little important note that we've got to catch there, is that in the Jewish law, you could not put a husband and a wife and their kids into debtors. It was against Jewish custom. The man could go to jail, but the woman wouldn't be sent to debtor's prison. It was against the jail. So Jesus is subtly telling us, is this guy is not only being forgiving, but he's not a Jew. He's not obligated to do the things that we think Christians should do. Essentially, in this story, he's saying this guy isn't even a Christian. He's owed all this money, and he's not even a Christian, and yet he says, hey, I'll forgive you. He's trying to point out how unreasonable it is and how extensive this forgiveness is, that here's this king who doesn't need to, is not obligated to, has so much owed to him, and yet he forgives us. It's completely unreasonable. So we need to catch the story that the forgiveness at its very essence is unreasonable. Doesn't make sense. It's not good business. It's unreasonable from every way we look at it to be forgiven. When we think of it in our context of us being forgiven by Jesus as a result of a death on the cross, it's not reasonable. It's not reasonable. It's not comprehensible. And if we think it is, you haven't grasped it. Second thing I want you to catch in this passage is that forgiven people forgive. Forgiven people forgive. See, many times I've read this story, and there's one thing that's always bothered me, is I can't figure out the disconnect between the king and the servant. I just have always wrestled with that. I go, this king forgives him, and then the guy just kind of walks out of there and immediately goes try to collect money so he can pay the debt. Like, I mean, that's the only obvious answer to that question to me, is why did he go and immediately try to get money when he didn't owe any money? Like, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me. But as I began to process some things, I realized something. I realized that the most obvious reason is he just doesn't get it. He just doesn't get it. He hadn't taken the time to process his own forgiveness. I'm just going to make a suggestion to us. I think most of us generally feel like we're too good to need the extent of forgiveness we really need. That somehow we can't quite comprehend, no matter how many times we've read it, we live in a world where we're positively affirmed, where our own self-worth is built up. And yet, in order to grasp the extent of the forgiveness that we receive, we've got to realize that we just were not all that. He couldn't process the extent. He couldn't process, in the same way we can't process the amount of money that he owed, he couldn't process the amount of forgiveness he needed. I think sometimes we've forgotten in our world and in our current Christian world, I think we've forgotten that repentance is a necessary part of forgiveness. And it's not because God wants us to feel bad about it, but we can't grasp the bigness of forgiveness until we realize how badly we needed it. Are you with me? Because if we don't grasp how much we need forgiveness, if we don't grasp how desperately we needed forgiveness, we don't assimilate it. It doesn't become part of us. We don't process it. In order for forgiveness to make a difference in our life, we have to accept it. We have to assimilate it. It has to become part of who we are. Luke chapter 11, verse 4 in the New American Standard Version, it says, and it's the Lord's Prayer. It's the same passage that I read in Matthew, but here's how Luke says. He says, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. For we also do that. The idea here is this cause and effect. It's that because we've been forgiven for our sins, we forgive others. It's a direct cause and effect thing. I've been forgiven, therefore I forgive others. It's not, if I'm not forgiving others, then I haven't processed my own forgiveness. It's you can't have one without the other. So if I'm not forgiving, if I'm struggling and I'm not forgiving and I'm not able to do that, I'm just not forgiving, and that's my default. I don't forgive, I hold a grudge. It really means I haven't processed my own forgiveness. I haven't made that my own. I haven't let that become who I am. I haven't let that become. So this man, he's forgiven of this extensive amount of sin, extensive amount of debt, but he never processes it and immediately goes out and tries to collect his own debts. He doesn't know he's forgiven. He doesn't walk in his forgiveness. He hasn't received it. He hasn't understood it. It was incomprehensible to him. And because of that, he didn't. Because forgiven people forgive. But let's, you know, we need to come right back down to the very basic of it. The truth is, forgiveness is hard. And I would suggest to you today that if you think forgiveness is easy, then you probably haven't done it right. I mean, just to be completely honest, if you think forgiveness is easy, I mean, I started off telling you about a story from 20-some years ago that I just suddenly realized I haven't done it right yet. That shocks me. I'm better than that. So I'm saying. I think I should be, I mean, I'm pastor. I mean, for goodness, I'm the pastor, right? I should have figured that out. And yet, forgiveness is that hard. I realized something when I was processing me. I'll let you in my process. Praying on this retreat, trying to process this. And it's still hard, and I still haven't got it through to the end yet. I'll be upfront about that. But I realized something, that there's a difference between forgiveness, forgiving someone, and excusing their behavior. I realized that for a lot of years I've said, but they didn't mean to do that. They didn't mean to do that. I'm the better person. They didn't mean to do that. They couldn't possibly have meant that. Here's the thing. Nowhere in this parable do I see the king saying, you didn't mean to keep the money. Nowhere do I hear him saying, hey, I understand. It's a lot of money to keep track of. He didn't say, oh, you know, I get it. I see why you didn't. No, he just said, you didn't pay me the money. You should go to jail. And what he did when he forgave him is not excuse the behavior. I think that's how we try to forgive sometimes. I know that's how I've tried to forgive. Well, he didn't really mean that. That's not, you know, they're having a rough time. This is kind of the whole thing there. So instead of forgiving, I excused. No wonder I'm still struggling with it. Because I didn't forgive, I excused. See, the thing is that to forgive, if you're writing a note down, you might want to write this one down, because this is kind of the big thing. To forgive, you have to own the pain. See, that's the problem with it. We think that forgiving will allow us to get rid of the pain. The problem is that forgiving means that we now own it. I didn't really mean that. Well, actually, that's where we have a problem when we excuse people's behavior in the name of forgiveness instead of owning the pain they caused us. See, forgiveness is this really, it's not just an emotional thing. It's not just a decision thing. It's a, you know what? That king made a decision when he forgave the servant. He made a decision that he would never receive that 1,000 talents and he would bear that loss. Do you think he felt that? I mean, you know, be honest. Do you think that affected him? It should have. It didn't suddenly, and the thing is this, when he forgave the servant, it didn't change the pain. You didn't expect that one to come down that way, did you? It didn't change it. See here, this man, he's trying to forgive. I don't know if he's trying to forgive at all. There's a difference between accepting the pain and explaining it away. I think we're mostly pretty good at explaining away. I think most of the time that our forgiveness is couched in terms of, actually, I behaved better than they did. They just made a mistake. They didn't do that right. It's okay. I think if I'm reading this passage right and understanding what God's trying to tell us, I think that the real key to this is that most of the time we justify other people's behavior. What we really want to do is forgive. But we don't know the difference. We don't acknowledge the difference. We don't recognize the difference, because the only way that we can make it make sense in our head is by saying they didn't mean that. I mean, let's be honest. When somebody is close to you and your friend and they behave like that to you, your wife, your husband, they behave like that to you, it doesn't make sense. And so we try to justify, rationalize, excuse it. That's not forgiveness. For forgiveness to happen, we have to own it. We have to own the pain of it. You know, when I wrote those words down on, and again, I'm still processing this one because that one caught me off guard. But when I wrote those words down, I hate him. And I cried. And I suddenly realized that I'd carried the pain even when I didn't acknowledge it. We can get pretty good at ignoring, excusing, and not acknowledging, but that doesn't make it go away. Excusing behavior is not the same as forgiving behavior. Marion Augsburger and Lloyd Ogilvy, in their commentary on this passage, they say this: forgiveness is never easy, it's hard. You know, I've been a Christian for a lot of my life. 55 years. And I keep thinking that by this point in time, it should be easier. But the truth is, by this point in time, I figured out how much harder it really is than I thought. Forgiveness is hard. Forgiveness is really hard. because it's really important, because it's the whole concept around which the whole Bible is written. It is the whole idea around which Jesus came to the earth for, was to forgive us. That's why it's so important. That's why it's so hard. Because here's the thing, Jesus dies on the cross, gives everything for us. He felt the pain. He owned the pain and said, Father, forgive them. It's hard. But here's what unforgiveness does. Unforgiveness makes you unreasonable. When we live in unforgiveness, we become unreasonable. We become unreasonable in our relationships. We guard when we're supposed to open our hearts. Unreasonable. Because we were designed for community. We were designed for relationship. And yet, when we hold unforgiveness, we guard ourselves out of the very blessing that God wants for us. Unreasonable. This servant, this is an interesting thing, and Craig Keener talks about it again in his commentary. He says this first servant, perhaps determined to repay his debt to the king, has now decided to become ruthlessly efficient in exacting what is owed to him, a sum less than one-fifth of the minimum he himself would have fetched on the slave market. In case you don't catch that, he's owed, depending on the translation you read, he's owed 100 denarii. The average price of a slave that we know from text of that time would have been about 500 denarii. So it was actually, what he does is illegal. It's illegal to sell somebody for more than the debt they owe you. You can see that as you read Old Testament law. So he is so consumed. He's been forgiven an unreasonable amount, and yet he acts unreasonably towards this other person who owes him less money. So basically he says, you owe me $100, give me 500. Oh, you don't have 500? Then I'm gonna sell you for 500. He's not just being unforgiving, he's being irrational. He's being unreasonable. He's taking out of somebody else what he hasn't received for himself. People that walk around with unforgiveness, oh, maybe we should call it resentment. Maybe we should call it bitterness. Maybe we should call it something else, because that we can relate to. But unforgiveness, when we walk around with unforgiveness, we become unreasonable in our demands of others. Because we're asking somebody else to fill a gap that's already been forgiven and we haven't received. Unbelievable. The supposedly forgiven servant who lived in unforgiveness behaves unreasonably. That's what we do when we don't accept our forgiveness and then live out that forgiveness. Just as I come near the end, I'm actually going to beat my clock today. This is incredible. It's a miracle. I want you to recognize something. Unforgiveness is not an option. If we're going to be tenacious followers of Jesus, unforgiveness is not an option. If we're going to be a community of faith, unforgiveness is not an option. If we're going to be better together, unforgiveness is not an option. If you want to do it on your own, you can hang on to your unforgiveness. But if we're going to do it together, unforgiveness is not an option. In Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to read this whole passage again. Matthew chapter 6, 9 to 15, it says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And verse 14 again, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sin, your Father will not forgive your sins. I want to just, as I close, I want to just emphasize to you or remind you of how important Jesus is saying this is. In terms of provision, He goes, give us today our daily bread. Five words. Six words, sorry. Give us today our daily bread. And yet most of our life, we spend all of our time fighting for our provision and what we need and what we have. Our life, we fight for that. Jesus gives it six words in our prayer. But forgiveness? Verse 12, forgive, forgiven. Verse 14, forgive, forgive. Verse 15, forgive, forgive. It shows up six times, just the word. Is it possible? Is it possible that we have maybe in our life, we have our priorities a little out of whack? We're more concerned about what we live off of than how we actually live. I'm going to ask you in just a moment here, we're going to pray and we're going to ask God to kind of talk to us. I want us to pray a prayer that, to be honest, I think is a little frightening based on some of my recent experiences. But I'm going to ask us to close our eyes, just to close ourselves in with God personally for a moment. And we're going to ask God to say, in a simple request, in a simple prayer, God, is there someone I need to forgive? So somebody that I'm holding this against. And when we do that, then we're going to take kind of a few steps to kind of process this a little bit. But we're not going to do it in a vague, general way. I'm going to ask you to do this specifically with whoever God brings to mind. So let's just bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment. And I know God, I can pretty much guarantee that when we ask and we pray, that God's going to answer this one. God, right now, I just, for all of us, here, online, in person, God, who is it in our life that we have not forgiven? I suspect by now God's probably brought somebody to mind. With that person in mind, I'm asking you to pray this with me, not necessarily out loud, but in relation to that person, that incident, that pain. Dear God, right now I accept the loss. I feel the loss. I feel the pain. I accept it. I own it. I have been hurt. I am hurt. I am in pain. And God, I grieve it. I grieve that pain. I grieve that loss. I feel it. I grieve that loss of relationship. I grieve for that. I am sad. I am. I wish it had never happened that way, but I feel it now. I miss that relationship. God, right now, I release that pain. I release that loss, knowing that you took it on the cross for me. Out of my forgiveness, I forgive. Father, I pray, and God, right now, across this auditorium, across the online, God, I ask that out of forgiveness you would bring healing. God, in this moment, this powerful moment, Father, I pray for each person who has allowed themselves to feel, allows themselves to think about, allows themselves to own the pain and the hurt. God, I pray you would bring healing.
Thanks for tuning in today. Each week, we gather in cities across our region and online to explore the truth of freedom available to all in the message of Jesus Christ. To find a gathering near you or to find out more, head to c3church.ca.